He won the victory. Come on. Celebrate him today. Thank you, Father, for your goodness. Thank you for this victory today. Amen and amen. Before you seated, turn around, elbow somebody, high five them, give them a smile for sure, and you can be seated. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen and amen. So good to be with family today. Jesus says, my mother and my brother are they that obey the word of the Lord. Amen. And the closest you can get to your true family is when you're close to somebody that's close to Jesus. Whether they're white, yellow, black, brown, it don't matter. He broke down that wall 2,000 years ago on a cross and said there's neither Jew nor Greek. Amen. And then he adopted you, whether you've accepted that or not, he adopted you. He purchased you. Whether you're sinner or saint, he owns you. He just don't make us do anything. Amen. And he gives us the choice every waking moment to choose life or death, blessing or cursing. We choose. Amen. What lane we're going to be in today. There's only two lanes. There are only two kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom darkness. Amen. We choose. And we choose to walk in the light, not because, amen, we're self-sufficient, but because we need him. It's when I think that I've got it covered. Anybody ever thought that before? I got this. The moment you think you got it, the Lord will let you try to do it without him. And that's walking in darkness. It's deception for me to think for a moment I can do anything without God. And I just want to encourage you today, I'm as tempted as anybody in this world to try to do something without God. I've done it so many times, I've gotten more convinced that I should never do it again. Amen? And so we can encourage one another today. It's not because we're perfect, amen, and it's because he's perfect. It's not because we, amen, are important, but it's because he's important that we're important. And let me say that clearly to everybody here today. He chose you. Without him, you can't choose him. Would that be a true statement? I need God to give me desire. I need God to give me hunger. I need God to help me to, amen, choose him. And he empowers you and I with his spirit so that we're able to choose him. So many people are showing up in a building, not the church. This building is not the church. The church is, come on. And we don't go to church. We are the church. Amen. So many people, amen, are living their life, amen, thinking that I've got to be good enough to get God. And as soon as I get myself straight, I am going to choose the Lord. Anybody ever said that before? Pastor, as soon as I get my life in order, I'm going to choose him. No, you're not. Because you ain't ever going to get in order without him. You're never going to arrive to a place where you're able to choose him without him empowering you to make a conscious decision. Amen. The Lord is the way, the truth, and life in my life. It's not going to happen. So everybody, like you heard the elder say today, the Lord has already spoke to us. He said, relax. I got this. I don't know about y'all, but I need to hear the Lord speak in my spirit. I need to be one that's hearing what he's saying. My sheep hear my voice, Jesus said. I know them, they follow me. And so he or she that has an ear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying to them as the church, right? I need that. Because when I hear him speak to me, it does something to me that wows me. When I know it's him talking, there's an experience that comes with his voice that empowers me to say, yes, amen, thank you, Jesus. And the next thing you know, I'm kind of out of sorts because he loved me enough to talk to me. And so I encourage you, don't try to figure God out. You can't. It's not possible. You can't study the Bible long enough to figure him out. You're never going to do it. God's incomprehensible, but he is knowable. He is knowable by hearing his voice. Amen? Hearing his voice. Tune in to what the Spirit is saying to you as his purchased, adopted sons and daughters. You're his children. You don't have to prove anything to him. You don't have to prove anything to him. You don't have to prove anything to him. You can't. But with God, the dynamics of his image, the dynamics of his makeup will begin to show up in your life, and you will begin to see him at work in your life like you've never seen him at work, and you'll begin to realize, oh, that's who he says I am. Oh, he gave me identity. He gave me a name. He gave me purpose. He gave me everything that is life. And he calls me by his name. Amen. And so last week we talked about finding your sweet spot. We found out a good definition that I challenge everybody to consider. The sweet spot is that space where your greatest strengths and your personal power overlap those arenas where you find ease and there's little resistance or stress. Anybody like that idea? It's like, man, you're just flowing. You have stepped into a current that's taken you on a journey you can't explain, and you're just wild. And let me encourage y'all. You know, I've heard people say, you know, the angels that they're flying around the throne of God and they're going, holy, holy, holy. They say, man, after you've done that a few times, you get boring. Oh, no. Because every time they make a loop, a new wow happens to them. And they're eternally wowed by the revelation of the God that they're calling holy, holy, holy. Your best days hadn't been lived yet. You haven't been wowed like you're going to be wowed. And when you reach that wow, there's another wow coming. Because God is setting us up to experience him who is incomprehensible. He's not okay. He allows us to get into a religious slump. He allows us to adopt religious ideas and traditions. He allows us to live out a form that has no power because he knows we're not wired to stay there. We get bored with it because we know there's something better. There's an experience that's greater. This can't be there all there is to God. Anybody ever said that? This can't be there all there is to God. And our idea of God at New Life Fellowship, that isn't all there is to God. Wherever you are in your walk with him, in your fellowship with him, guess what? This necessary factor called change ain't stopping. You're going to be changed because God started something in you. He will finish what he started. You're going to be changed in his image from glory to glory as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, if that sounds Christianese to you, probably is. Because if you hadn't read the Bible, then you would know that that kind of language was adopted back centuries ago, amen, with scribes that translated the Greek into King James Version. So, what am I saying? Oh, your marriage, all your relationships, the things that you do, you're about to go to another level. God has a plan for you to be his salt and his light, to be his influence, to be his vessel of love. He's looking for availability from all of us. And wherever you are, know this, you haven't arrived yet. You are on a journey. The thing that you can do on the journey is stay in your sweet spot. That's the choice you can make. You can choose life and step into your sweet spot, regardless of how flawed you may see yourself from the, and the enemy is going to keep pushing that button. He ain't stopping, by the way. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to say things you wish you hadn't said. You're going to experience dynamics that are painful in this world. The beautiful thing about negative emotions and nerves is that that's a gift from God. Without you getting on the end of your nerves and those negative emotions coming, you'll never rethink where you are. You'll think if you arrived. It's the challenges that we face in life that causes us to repent. Another Christianese word. But it's so legitimate because can being honest with God and telling the truth about where we are without wearing the religious mask is important in all of our lives. When I'm not honest and telling the truth, being a prolific liar as a believer, I need to make you think everything's okay. And so I put the mask on, everything's okay. But I'm not being honest. I know everybody in this room knows what I'm saying. Everybody can say amen to that one. But because we've learned how to wear the religious mask, the Lord will let us wear it until we get tired of it. And then when we get tired of it, we get honest. And we start telling the truth to Him. Lord, I feel this way. I feel like you're a million miles away. I feel like you've left me out. I feel like I'm the last one on the totem pole. I feel it's the Lord. I'm glad you're getting honest with me finally. Now let me tell the truth to you about who you are. Because these negative emotions and these nerves that are you on in is nothing more than the evidence that your identity's under attack. And you're not in your sweet spot. You're so powerful. God has already placed events in your life that He's going to fulfill. And you may wait till you're 80 years old until you finally decide, okay, Daddy, I agree with you. You got it. Here's the steering wheel. And everything that God planned for you when you was 20 and 30 and 40, because time don't rule God, it's in God, He redeems the time. He restores the years that the enemy has stolen. He gives it back because He's looking for His glory. He don't quit on us. You are powerful. Don't let the enemy tell you you're too old. That you've wasted time, that God can't use, you're just kind of hanging out until He comes and takes you out. That's not how God works. He is so passionate about you. And deciding what your purpose is, going ahead and tuning in and listening to what God has to say about you is so significant today. And so we're not talking about finding our sweet spot. Today we're talking about living in your sweet spot. In your sweet spot, it starts with the mindset that says, today matters. This day is important. And there are new experiences to be had. And I have got to choose. I've been given the opportunity to make a choice and engage. I am finite, but I contribute something to the finite realm that's eternal. And God chose to use me to do this. That's living in your sweet spot. It often refers to your calling from heaven, your vocation, your destiny, or the path that you're in. Regardless, living in your sweet spot is your reason for being. Your existence. The reason you exist, God has an eternal purpose that brings Him His glory. Pastor, are you sure that God can get glory with me? And the only reason you would ask that question is because the enemy works overtime to make you doubt who Daddy says you are. Amen? And right now, I feel in the Spirit that the Lord is attacking. He done it 2,000 years ago, but faith is working right now because there's considerations right now. Well, maybe the pastor might be telling the truth, that maybe God is potentially saying these things. And I've let all the static and all the voices of our culture and our world convince me I'm a loser and that I'll never be worth anything and I'll never achieve anything. And maybe I've been listening to the wrong voices, and it's caused me to agree to the level that all I do is warm a seat when I go attend a church gathering. Amen. The potential that you have in you right now can happen today if we'll just let the Lord. Amen. Regardless of where you are, right where you're at, they'll come waves of knowing that you can't do without God bringing those waves. And does anybody want to get in the sweet spot of your divine purpose and for being to the place where you leave here knowing things you could never come up with? While I'm talking the next few minutes, while you're sitting there, you can entertain the presence of God in such a way that you'll begin to know things that only God can help you know. And you'll know it's God. You'll know it's not the enemy. You'll know that the Lord is. Anybody want to have that kind of relationship with God where you know it's Him talking? Because in our world right now, even in our Christian world, most Christians look at you like, you hear God's voice? Do we need to go see a psychiatrist? No, most Christians will tell you that. They will tell you that. We need to go see a doctor here. I mean, there's problems. And yet Jesus was very clear in His message. He that has an ear to hear what the Spirit's saying, that's who I'm talking to. That's who I'm talking to. My sheep hear my voice. Now either he's the biggest liar or Christianity needs some help. So you hear me say things like this. I don't know that Jesus actually came to make anybody a Christian. Well, what's your definition of a Christian? Might not be his. My definition of what looks like Jesus may not be his definition of what looks like him. I need Jesus. And if I'm saying something as a professed believer and Christian that's not what he's saying, am I a Christian? Now, Pastor, you're getting over in the Kool-Aid now. You got your foot in it. Can I be Christ apart from only saying what I hear my Father say and do what I see my Father do? Have I done that before? Oh, yeah. So everybody relax. I'm under anointing right now, not because I'm a good man. Some of you really need to catch this. The anointing's on me not because I do everything right. The anointing's on me because He loves me. And even if I've been a donkey, He'll use a donkey. Because he loves me and He loves you. Is this helping somebody yet? Regardless of the lens that you see yourself in, you have a sweet spot. You have an eternal purpose. And you're alive today because God believes in you. And He trusted you with the path you've been walking because He has plans for you. Nobody can live out your purpose like you can, because nobody's experienced the things and the dynamics you've experienced because God purposed in His plan of making you that unique vessel of love, that you would go through what was unfair, that was a lie, amen, that was messed up. And He could take that and He could transform it into something beautiful. And through it, He could pull people out of their living hell. He could pull people out of their pain. He could pull people out of their disease and their sickness. And the message of the cross becomes emphatic. What He spoke on a cross, dying our death, that message reigns today. And in your sweet spot, you can win. Amen. I asked the question to the departmental leads today that are serving here in this house. I said, a question. Jesus made it clear that the least in his kingdom is greater than those that were in the Old Testament covenant and prior to covenant with Israel. The least in the kingdom of God on this side of the cross is greater than anyone you can name on the other side. Is that true? Well, let me ask you a pointed question then. If Enoch could walk with God, and he was not, and some of you said, well, what are you talking about, Pastor? I know some of you hadn't read the Bible. There was this man that lived for about 365 years that walked with God, and then one day the Lord just took him. He didn't die. He just walked on with God. Now, this should help you. That was prior to the outpouring of the Spirit and fire. That there was a man after Adam messed up and made the wrong call, which was to our benefit and his, because we'd never known what grace was, and mercy, and God's long suffering. Boy, he's put up with me a long time from my lens. It's not even been a moment of time to him. And he's proud of me. And I still ask him, what are you proud of, Lord? And he keeps telling me, when I get honest with him like that, well, I'll tell you what I'm proud of. And I'll tell you what I'm about to do. And that gets me all excited. But the enemy wants me to go back in my past and disqualify myself. I wonder how many times Enoch disqualified himself before he decided he was going to walk with God. For 300 years, he kept disqualifying himself and disqualifying himself and disqualifying himself. And finally, I'm going to start trying to believe what you're telling me. And he walked with the voice of God. And the scripture in the other translation, and he fellowshiped with God. And God took him. Let me tell you what I really believe in my spirit right now. I really believe with all my heart. Greater works, Jesus said, you're going to do than he did when he was in flesh. Because he's really in flesh now. He finally got his body, the body of Christ. And I'm a member of that body by grace and by mercy. And by accepting the fact that I'm to be spirit-led by the spirit that infills that body, to be on fire. And when there's doubt, oh, I go and stir the gift up, praying in the spirit until I get boldness and I get courage. Somebody here today, you don't have boldness, you don't have courage, you're not really doing anything, you're trying to figure out how to do this, and you've trusted on your intelligence so much you found out you wasn't smart, that this is going to be a spirit thing, not an intelligent thing. It's going to be a spirit-led thing that you'll never be able to explain. You're just walking into stuff you can't explain all the time. Because you'll never figure him out. And so Enoch finally got to the place where, oh, I'm just going to walk with God. I'm just going to hang out with God. I don't understand anything he does. But after I go with him on what I can't figure out, understanding follows. And the wow factor comes out of me. I really believe with all my heart that if we'll let God be God, that some of you are going to walk with the Spirit in such a way that we're going to be able to find you here in the next day or two. Because you walked with God and he just said, come on. Well, Pastor, you're talking about the rapture. Call it whatever you want to call it. But God wants to take us with him. But first, he wants us to walk with him. Anybody want to go with the Lord? Well, then there was one thing that qualified Enoch to be taken. One thing. And I'm in the next few moments, I'm going to give you four keys to living in your sweet spot. Amen. Four keys. In Hebrews chapter 11, it reads this way, verse 6. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to Him must believe that God exists and that He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. And it says that in verse 5, and it was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him. For before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God. Amen. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith comes by hearing the voice of God. Come on, that's what the Word of God is. Go check it out in original Greek. It's talking about voice. Jesus kept saying it. If you have an ear to hear what my Spirit is saying, you got a great future ahead of you if you get into the moment. Faith. I would like to say first key, first things first. Put first things first. That's the first key. Step number one will always be step number one. The idea that, you know, I'm concerned about step three. I don't know if we're going to have enough money for step three to work. I don't know if you know, everybody's going to agree with step five. Anybody want to talk about ruminating? You're worried about, man, we, you know, the plan of action is for us to achieve this objective. We got all these steps we need to do in order to achieve this objective. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And so we get to ruminating, we don't do nothing. Anybody ever done that before? You got to looking at the whole scheme and you said, well, dude, time out. And all that ruminating was all the voices that you need to go see the psychiatrist over. Pastor, be careful now. The one voice we need to listen to, most of the world doubts. But the only way that I can qualify to please the one that put me together is to hear his voice. And when I hear his voice, something happens. Faith ignites. And a work begins to happen. Not the work I'm doing, but the work that faith is doing. Anybody want faith to go to work in your life? Faith without works is dead. And in our Christian movement, that equals, I need to go feed the poor. I need to and do that. Let's do that. I need to go clothe. I need to go the poor. I need to go and do wonderful works out here. I need to go get something done. That's not the works it's talking about. The work it's talking about is you've let the voice of God become your focus. And like Enoch, you're walking and fellowshipping with the voice of God like Adam did. And he walked with the voice of God in the cool of the day. And he took care of God's business. Who's actually taking care of that? God, through Adam. And so until we get to a place in our sweet spot that we're letting what God is speaking to us get a hold of us, until it's like fire in our bones, until there's a boldness and a courage that's eating us up, amen, and we just, yes, Lord, I'm with you. Do what you got to do. And we allow him to come in and be king of his kingdom within me, that from me, he can reveal his glory to the world. Faith isn't working yet. Because Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 7. This is Jesus talking. He says, you know the tree by the fruit it carries. And it carries that fruit because it's tapped into the root it's tapped into. Which root am I tapped into? If I'm carrying fruit as a tree, is it good fruit or is it bad fruit? And Jesus makes it very clear that the good fruit comes from them that hear and do. And doing don't mean I'm being a good Christian. Doing means I'm agreeing with what he's saying and I'm letting him work through me his glory. Faith is now working. But he said there's many that hear what he says, This is how Jesus made it clear. There's many that hear what he's saying, but they're not letting what they hear work through them. And they're still seeing wonderful works happen. He said, many will say to me that day, did I not cast out devils, heal the sick? Then we done all this in your name. And Jesus said, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And that word iniquity means self-will. Yes, you heard what I was saying, but you engaged your self-will. And yes, I used you to put the enemy on the run. And yes, even though you wasn't being obedient, I still heal people. And still many wonderful works happen through you, but I don't know you. This is so important that we catch this, because you can be a part of works from heaven and not be in your sweet spot. Being and living in your sweet spot is when he's actually king of his kingdom within me. The fact that I can cast out devils, and really, let me make that simple for you that are trying to figure that one out, because everybody, all beings that breathe are commissioned by God and given the ministry of casting out demons and healing the sick. That's to everybody. But let me help you with it. You carry the good news wherever you go. You tell the truth. And when you tell the truth, the lies that people are holding can't stay. If they're going to have fellowship with you and you're the truth, because that's who God says you are, they're going to agree with you because you're blessed. The lies that they keep believing keep revealing they're in darkness and they're cursed. And they don't like staying in the dark side. They want to be on the blessed side. So you carry the truth wherever you go. You preach the gospel without getting into people's faces. Your life is a reflection of the good news. People want to hang out with Jesus, by the way. Last time I checked, they love Jesus. They don't like being around people that act like they're on Jesus' side, though. But there's no evidence of the one that they call their Lord in their life. That's a turnoff. Anybody agree? Being in your sweet spot, ladies and gentlemen, God's called us out of darkness into marvelous light to manifest and to put the enemy on the run. Jesus said, he that hears these sayings of mine and they basically stays in fellowship with me will do the works of my Father. And that house is built on a rock. And when the storms come, and pandemics happen, and social unrest comes beating against that house, that house will stand because it's founded on the rock. But lots of Christianity was founded on sand. And when the pandemic happened, and when the social unrest happened, they didn't know what to do, and their house crumbled. Is this helping somebody? When you're in your sweet spot, the Lord don't have to leave his seat because he ain't leaving it. He's king of his kingdom. And the throne that he sits on in your heart is his mercy seat. That's his throne. And from his house, the mercies of God are spilled out into all the earth. And you forgive and you release and you let people go that offend you and beat you up. Amen. Because you get to be forgiven. And you know in your spirit, just like Jesus, you forgive them for they know not what they do. You get to forgive people as many times as 490 times in a day. Because you're in your sweet spot. If you're not in your sweet spot, you can't forgive anybody one time a day. But in your sweet spot, you can do it 70 times 7 in one day. And y'all, it don't take a genius to figure out we got some checks and balances here. That if you need to know whether or not you're in your sweet spot, these checks and balances are in place. If you have a problem with your spouse, you're not in your sweet spot, and you're not fellowshipping with the Lord. If you're saying things like, as soon as they change, I'll have a better day. I'm not okay, and it's their fault. Jesus is not sitting on his throne in your life, and you're not in your sweet spot. Amen. So, first key, first things first. Put first things. Number one will always be number one. Number one is faith in God. First things first. If I need to tune in for station identification and do a double check on what voice I'm paying attention to, put first things first. If you're trying to get ahead of God and try to figure out where God's leading you, you know you're listening to the devil. Oh, I had this happen to me. I ruminated before I came to San Antonio. And I don't know how many times, ladies and gentlemen, that I'm looking at the clock because, man, I'm thinking, hey, how am I going to get through this message right now? And the Lord's going to help me. He's good. He can redeem the time. I don't know how many times before Tammy and I came here in the will of God that I had to pull over on the side of the road while I'm working, doing, you know, what I did, and laying carpet on a flooring company. And I pull over the side of the road, and, man, God would meet me in my van. And I had to have those rendezvous to get the kind of breath and the kind of faith I needed to say, yes, Lord, you can count on me. I'm with you. And then I'd go to ruminating again after that, and then I'd have to pull over again and have a renewal in the spirit and prophesy my own prophecies for me and my family to keep me. Because, you know, the Lord spoke to me one day. He said, son, when you go where I'm sending you, you're going to work for me. You won't work a job. And I didn't understand this Josh Holly thing, quit your job or die. So whole time out, Lord. I got a family. He said, no, I'm going to take care of you. You're going to work for me. I'm going to take care of you. You're going to work for me. I'm going to take care of you. Well, I'm trying to figure it out, and so I'm ruminating. And I even have close brothers that are helping me ruminate, saying, Dwayne, you got a wife and three children. You got to work. That sounds right. I don't know how God's going to do it, because that one time when that happened, it's like the last one to hit. That happened. And I just come out of Lord, I need you to confirm this. And I turned her and I said to him, I said, look, I don't know how he's going to do it, and I don't care. All I know is I want to stay under the spout where the glory falls out. I want to stay in my sweet spot. And my sweet spot is walking with him. And before I ever baptized and started mentoring people into the kingdom of God, I stuttered, and I didn't know if I could ever win anybody. But the Lord promised me through experience, saying, I got you back. You just trust me. First things first. And when you talk about faith in God, you're talking about trust in God. Amen. So the second key, go all in. Go all in. If you don't get step number one, if you don't get the first one in place, you ain't going to do the second one. Because the second one is, if he says, step out and walk with me on water, and you're still trying to figure that out by ruminating and trying to figure out how they don't add up, you ain't doing it. But Peter did one thing. Lord, if that's you, let me hear you say, come. Oh, man. If y'all ever catch this, you can do anything. If you ever find out how powerful it is to hear him say it. And some of us hasn't yet understood the dynamics of when he says something to you, what it does. Now, I do know that Dan can say some things. And my spirit man said, he just told the truth. Because I'm wired by God, just like you. Every one of you can tell whether or not I'm telling the truth. And everybody in here, you may not have read anything in the Bible. But while I'm talking, your eternal being, the way you're set up by God, you know. That's the truth. I wish I could explain it, but that's the truth. And you know that it don't equal the world. And so you can say something to me, and I say, yeah, that's awesome. I agree. That's the truth. But Dan got it from God. I know he got it from God. And now Dan gets to go do it in the spirit that he got it from. And for me, as a body, as a member of the body, the voice of God comes to me. And every member of this body operates based on the signals that's being sent from the head here. This hand don't do what this hand does. This foot don't do what that foot does. I mean, this member don't do what the next member does. But these members gets instruction, and it brings glory to the body or the head that sits on the body. Jesus came, and he's telling those that said, I will follow you. This is what Jesus is saying to him. He said, oh, yeah, I understand, you know. The foxes have their holes, and the birds have their nests, but the Son of Man, he's speaking of himself, hath nowhere to lay his head. Because he don't have his body yet. The church hasn't been born. He hadn't went to the cross. He hadn't been glorified. And so he's coming for his bride. And to get his bride, he's going to pay the debt off. He's going to do it with his own blood and his life so that he can give this life to his bride. So he can have a body to put his head on. And you and I get to be members of that body, but we've got to connect with the signal from heaven. We got to get a hold of this thing to the Lord. All we can say is what we hear the Spirit saying. All we can do is what we see Him doing. You're in your sweet spot. So going all in is very emphatic. First things first, faith. Faith comes by hearing. When I go all in, it's because I'm trusting Him now. Amen. I don't know how we're going to do this, Lord. You ain't going to do it. You're just doing it with me. That's what the Lord's saying. You're not doing this. I'm doing it. But I want you to come go along because I need availability. I need a vessel. I need someone that knows how to say amen. You know, I need someone that says, you know what, Daddy, I'm all in. Show me your glory. I was wondering when you was going to let me do that. But then the third key, see, he's helping me redeem the time right now. Be grateful. First things first, so you can go all in. When you go all in, get grateful. And I've come to realize that the things that I know about myself should never be measured by the things I don't know about you. What did you just say, Pastor? If you're comparing yourself with others, you're unwise. As long as you're trying to figure you out based on what you don't know about others, you can't be grateful. Thank you, Jesus, and being grateful that you have been put in this space of time where you matter. This day is important. This moment of time is from heaven. And the fact that I'm valid and that I'm special and God has purposed to do a work through me that brings glory to Himself deserves an attitude of gratitude. You can move heaven with thanksgiving. You want to go to the inner court with Him? You enter into the gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. You want to get to the bedchamber, amen, where you can get God's unction and His word, the seed of His word into your spirit? We're going to be thankful that the Lord trusted you with the path you've been on because He knew it was going to work out something awesome. No, it wasn't fair. No, it was messed up. Okay, we can all agree with that. But God's fair. God's faithful. And if I've made some bad choices and my predecessors that were responsible for me being in their life made some bad choices, that I got some of those consequences too. Thank God that the blood of Jesus breaks the curse. Thank you, Jesus. But thank you, Lord, that this is the day you have made. And I'm in the present day right now, this moment of time, which is step four, live in the moment. Slow down. When you get into your sweet spot, you won't rush for anything. Mm-mm. You won't be frantic about nothing. You will be the epitome of being cool. Back in my day, I just dated myself. Funds ain't got nothing on you. Live in the moment. In the moment. Right now, in this moment, the greatest miracles are waiting to happen. When you push everything out and you slow it down to His melody, His rhythm, and you start singing His song, the marriage has hope now. The broken relationships will start mending because we've let Him in and we found the current of His Spirit. Anything can happen. And you can fellowship with the Lord to the point that He might just say, come on, go with me. Isn't God good? And so there's a rhythm and there's a melody that this next generation has been looking for. The reason the millennials have been so emphatic that their voice be heard is because most of the professed Christians wasn't repeating the voice of God. And they got tired of hearing religious voices and started screaming. And God's using it right now to wake up the baby boomers to realize, oh, we knew we should have done something about it. The baby boomers finally decided. We should have been honest. We should have told the truth from the very beginning. And now they've decided, we're going to tell the truth. Moving on. I got a few days left. I'm telling the truth. And the millennials said, well, thank you, Jesus. We was looking for Jesus the whole time. And you know what? They're forgiving. They'll forgive if we'll just get honest. Just like God is so forgiving to us, if we'll just get honest. The next generation after millennials, they don't want a form without power. Show me Jesus. Don't tell me about Him. Show me. Give me something that I can embrace, something I can have fellowship. Give me something that brings life to where I'm at right now. And if you don't, I'm going to go out and feed the poor the way I feel like they need to be fed. I'm going to do something significant until you show me Jesus. And that's the way I feel the fire in my spirit right now. Let's get up, stand up, and declare, this is the Lord. And let His glory spill out of us. Live in the moment because creation hadn't stopped. And God's going to continue to create as the ones He's wanting to use in His creation allow Him to create through them. Can I feed the poor and not please God? Absolutely. Can I do that? Absolutely. Can I clothe them and not please? Yes, I can. Because I didn't include Him when I did it. And I let people pin a rose on me for doing it. You want to feed the poor? I like this. I'll close with this thought here. It's very intriguing to me when I consider this miracle that happened. Just checking. Does that help? Lights. Five thousand men, not counting the ladies and the children, hung out with Jesus for 3 days because every word he spoke was so heavy and so they couldn't leave. It'd be awesome if y'all could do that with me. But I'm sure your backside would wear out before I got past where I'm at right now. And Jesus became concerned for them because they needed to eat. And He tells His disciples, come on, anybody want to be a disciple of the Lord? He turns to His disciples and says, feed them. And His disciples are like, okay, we All we got is this. And he says, what do you have? Some of you are thinking right now, you don't have anything. And if you do have anything, it's very little at best. That's what some of you are thinking right now. And the Lord said, if you ever realize what you got, if you ever really realize what you got, then you're going to be my messenger of good news everywhere you go. And spirit, soul, and body is going to prosper. But the Lord has a little boy, a little lad, positioned. He'd been paying attention. He'd been listening. He can hear the voice of God. Because it has no indication that the disciples even asked the little boy, could we have your lunch? You ain't got to ask for people's lunch. You ain't got to ask for it. You can talk to the Lord. If you need something, he'll make sure you get it. Pastor, you ain't got to ask for somebody's lunch. You got to ask for what they got for you to be able to do what the Lord's saying. You're not going to go find somebody to help you do what the Lord said. You're not in your sweet spot. If you're still trying to get people to help you do what the Lord says, you are not in your sweet spot. If the Lord tells you to do something, he's got everything you need already in place. Come what we want. Hold it, hold it. Can I borrow your boat so I can float by Jesus as he walks on water? That's how it looks from heaven's view. So he's got this lad with a sack lunch that's been paying attention. And this lad hears what he says to the disciples, and he comes up and says, I got something. And the disciples take it and said, all we got is a sack. And the Lord knew that he knew that sack lunch was going to be the miracle, because it was going to be the faith of that lad, not the faith of the disciples. It was going to be the faith of a little child. Such is the kingdom of God. Such is the kingdom of God. It was going to be the faith of a little boy that was going to feed 20,000 people with a sack lunch. And we're at a place right now where the master's saying, until you become as little children, come on. All that stuff you're carrying that you think you're supposed to be carrying, we got to lay it at his feet. It's time to put first things first. It's time to go all in. It's time to get grateful and get into the moment. This is what time it is. And Jesus, on the most important day, this is what the scripture says. I love it. He leaped. On the most important day of the feast, Feast of Tabernacles, he leaped. He that believes on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This he spake of the Holy Spirit, which they should receive, but they haven't received it because he hadn't yet been glorified. But he's leaping on the most important day on a feast called the Tabernacles. And if you do your homework, you'll find out that everything points that was his birthday on that day during the Feast of Tabernacles. That's when he was born, on the most important day. And this is what he said. And he's heralding a message that declares you're going to be born again on that most important day. And his whole purpose was, once that happens, the day of the Lord has come. The kingdom of God is within you, and it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. You become his platform for his glory to be revealed. And so when they said, Lord, we got to go tell somebody, he said, hang out, because you're going to be endowed with power from on high. I'm going to give you the promise, the covenant promise, that's going to help you, empower you, put you on fire so that you can be a witness to me. Anybody want to be a witness to Jesus? He's looking for a place to put his head. He's looking for a body member that's lacking in the body to get attached and get in rhythm with the moment. The body of Christ is doing something right now. What am I doing? You cannot separate Jesus and your sweet spot. When you're in your sweet spot, he's in lead. When you're in your sweet spot, you only do what you hear him say. You only say what you hear him say, and you only do what you see him do. My sheep know my voice. Amen. They hear it. I know them. I'm intimate with them. I empower them so they're able to follow me. If you haven't been following him and you know you should, you're just an experience away from the voice of God. You're just an experience away from Holy Spirit fire and baptism right now to get into your sweet spot. You're not getting there any other way. That's the only way in. There's not many ways. There's one way. It's not an added blessing, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus leaped for joy and got excited about he or she that believes on me as the out of their belly. Rivers. He's speaking of the Spirit baptism. Sweet spot. Anybody want to get in your sweet spot? Could we stand?